I'm ready.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rich Single Mama TV. I'm Samantha Gregory, the founder of richsinglemama.com, and I am starting a series about featuring single mom business owners. And I'm so excited today to welcome Nubia Henderson. She is our guest, and she is going to tell us more about who she is, what she does, and how she has been handling the single mom journey and balancing business. So welcome, Nubia. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on today.
Very good. So Nubia, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Who is Nubia Henderson?
Oh, that famous question. So, of course, yes, I am a mom. I'm a mom of one. My daughter Zahara is 4 years old. And I'm also so many things, but I am a dancer. I'm a yoga instructor, children's yoga instructor. And I'm really like a kid at heart. So taking all of that and putting it into a package as far as business, mm-hmm. I started a company or brand, I should say, called Kids Jam. My company is actually Nubia Lives Yoga, which encompasses all those things I just mentioned, including speaking and talking about motherhood, health and wellness, parenting. But Kids Jam is the brand that partners with schools and community organizations to share the tools of yoga and mindfulness. And so I use like a really arts integrated approach mm-hmm. because children, you know, love to do a variety of different things from singing and dancing to science to playing sports. And I really just want them to understand that, you know, they can use certain yogic techniques to enhance whatever they feel like their purpose is mm-hmm. in life and whatever they want to do. But knowing how to use those tools for self-regulation is really the key for them to move mindfully, in life. So that's it in essence, a key part of that brand. And underneath all of it, I really promote self-love. So mm-hmm. A lot of times, because it's Kids Jam, the undercurrent of it is also really big in social justice too. I don't say that, but that's a big theme of our time. Mm-hmm. And in my work, I really realized, wow, the key to all of this is us loving ourselves. It strengthens us to be able to empower our communities to come up with solutions versus to having to fight for things outside of our control. We can mm-hmm. fight for ourselves, right? For our own will to live by taking care of ourselves and care for our communities. So that's me. That's Kids Jam all in one, complex little package, as we all are as humans. So
beautiful. That's beautiful because that's so needed in our community, which is why I'm really featuring single moms of color as well for this particular series. And it's so important for us to really build ourselves up so that we can build our community up and so that we can build our children up and create a more sustainable future for us so that, you know, we can show up in the world fully equipped, emotionally, physically, financially, in every aspect of it. So, and spiritually for sure, so that we can navigate this world because it's such a big world and we need to have those tools. And so what you're providing is definitely, important piece of the puzzle for wholeness in our community. So thank you so much, Nubia. I just want to say thank you for that.
It's really an honor. I mean, I learned a lot. I do feel like this is what I'm purposed to do. I didn't start off doing this. I started off in communication and in the TV industry, which is a total opposite. But, when it's your purpose and you get there one way or the other.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us a little bit more about your single mom journey. How did you become a single mom? How did you react when you found out you were going to have a child? And just your journey up to this point.
So I'm going to be completely transparent. I don't even know. This part might be a little bit for some people, but when I found out I was pregnant, I had just made my career transition. So I was coming from LA, I was working in production, and I was like, oh, I know what I want to do. I know I want to teach children. Mm-hmm. And so I was about 2 months into me teaching first grade. I was doing yoga in the classroom, yoga after school, mm-hmm. and I had a 2-year contract. And, you know, every teacher knows you start the school year strong, and then like right about literally like this time, you're like, okay, I need this Thanksgiving break. Right. And I was just like, man, I am really spent. I'm so tired. What's going on? I need this break. Oh. And on Thanksgiving break, coming back, I was, because I got in the car and, you know, I fell asleep like this. Mm-hmm. I was out. And I was like, man. And it was happening the whole weekend. And I got back and I was like, okay, I didn't even drive back. Why am I still tired? I'm, you know, I've eaten. Long story short, my body said, take a test. Mm. Lo and behold, I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. So, illegal to say, I was like, no, this isn't in my plan. I got stuff to do. And I was terrified. I was mm-hmm. terrified. And the joke around the school that I was at was that every year someone gets pregnant. And the year before was actually my principal. I know. They were mm-hmm. like, what's in the water? But my principal, girl, my principal and then had four children.
Oh, my.
And she was like, you're going to be fine. Four children, honey, and a powerhouse. Wow. I remember I'm telling you, she's the principal. Mm-hmm. And she had the baby the year before I got pregnant. Powerhouse. But yeah, she said, it's going to be fine, going to be okay. But I was terrified. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified because I had moved from LA. So my partner and I were living together. We still live together, but we weren't, and we still are not married. Mm-hmm. And so there's something too, in my opinion, because I'm not married, but if I were to get married, I want to be on the same page with that person. I want to be operating in a partnership. Mm-hmm. And so that has kind of like been the struggle of literally how you can live in the same household with someone, right? And you think ideally, this is how it should go. This is how it's going to be. And it's not that. And so as a mom, as a woman with goals, you have to decide what you're going to do for you and your future, and the future being, you know, your child.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well, that's fantastic. Because I think a lot of us, some of us talk about our journey, how we got pregnant, how we ended up having a baby, what our feelings were. And I think those feelings can sometimes overwhelm us. The possibility of having a child, and the possibility of doing it on your own can be overwhelming, along with the hormonal changes and all the different things and what your family and friends think and say, and, you know, whatever your values are, core values are, and what you've been raised to believe and all that good stuff. So it's, you know, like you said, it's ironic that you got pregnant and was having this baby at the time you were transitioning.
Stop.
and that in and of itself can be stressful, even though it was a good move for you or good transition. That stressful, making a move, going into a new career, and then adding a child on top of that. So that all can really mess with your internal balance system and freak you out, basically.
I'm gonna throw something else, and it was a new relationship. Everything. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So changes were just plentiful.
Yes. But good thing that you are into yoga and I'm sure meditation. So how did that help you find your inner peace?
So ironically, my pregnancy is when I say my practice really started. Okay. And not that I wasn't practicing before, but and, you know, my baby runs really hot. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have, like, you know, my kids in the classroom, I had to figure out, like, a better way. I had to increase my patience with them. Mm-hmm. People in my life that were toxic, it's like my body, my temperature would start to rise. And I was like, whoa. So I really had to cultivate a stronger breath practice. Mm-hmm. When I was pregnant, a much stronger breath practice. And I also just had to develop a consistency in doing what worked for me, mm-hmm. which is why I'm a proponent. Like I do, definitely I'm a yogi and I have a specific practice, but like I said, I'm also a dancer. I do different things that help me to self-regulate because it's not always going to be a yoga sequence. It's just not. And I want people to understand that because I think, you know, it's a misconception, but my practice, I think probably when I was like 4 months, it just wasn't, I did my last inversion at 4 months, let me just say that. Mm-hmm. And I had really bad sciatic nerve pain. So what actually helped me was seeking out a swim class, which was pushing mm-hmm. me in a different area. So my breath practice definitely got stronger. And then my body wisdom let me know, you know what, you need to find some other therapies right now to complement this in the midst of the transition. But also, I think a good part of my practice was definitely the breath, because the pose that I held to have my daughter was frog pose. Mm-hmm. So yes, there were certain things that I did hold on to, and then certain things I had to just know when and say, okay, I need to do something different.
Got it. Wow. Thanks. Thank you for sharing that. I'm sure that'd be very helpful for, you know, those who are watching and listening to know that there are different modalities that you can use.
Absolutely.
In order to find your calm place, your peace. And it doesn't have to be the traditional, you know, lotus pose to meditate, but it could be other things too, you know.
Yeah. I mean, just to get your healing on, it's that body wisdom, because just where I was in my practice, and just understanding my body, because mm-hmm. My sciatic nerve was probably acting up before. And I know, and I also had like carpal tunnel really bad, so a lot of stuff was happening, but the pregnancy just like amped it up.
Sure.
So I did have to find different ways of being and understanding my body. And I do think that was from yoga, because had I just went along and just said, well, I'm just gonna be pregnant and that's it, it's gonna be okay, I'm not gonna move, I think it would have gone differently. So yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. And we've talked a little bit about your business, and of course we've been integrating it through this conversation, but tell me, how did you come to the place where you said, okay, I'm going to start this business, it's going to be kid focused, and did you have all the tools that you needed in order to get started?
Oh, that's such a great question. So I knew that. So when I got my yoga certification, it's just something about it. I was always teaching adults, right? I was in and out mm-hmm. of studios. I even had the opportunity to do a Bally commercial. So I was like, yes. But I think it was the second year of my teaching journey. My sorority, I'm a Delta, they were having a teen workshop. Mm-hmm. And so I taught the teens there. But then there was another organization, because I wasn't living in Atlanta at the time, called Sporty Girl Fitness.
Oh, okay.
They wanted to have another yoga session. Daddy, and so I thought the door was locked. But this is life. Thank you, honey bunny. Can you do me a favor? Can you lock that door when you go back out? Thank you so much. Okay, thank you.
Real-time parenting.
Real-time. Let's see if it worked. Oh, she did it. Okay. So, so I did a teen yoga session, and I said, okay, I think there's something to this. I think this is more my speed. Because as I said before, I'm very non-traditional, very much into freedom. That's how I roll.
Yes.
I believe in the process of yoga. And I was like, yeah, like let me help these babies. Mm-hmm. But also because in my personal meditation, I felt like the place that I was in my life, if I had this when I was a child, I would just be better. You know, at that particular time, it just unearthed so many things. And I felt like, wow, I was really misunderstood. Like, wow, they didn't really, you know this about me. But if I knew it about myself, you know, I would have had more voice. I would have had more agency. And so that really just kind of like solidified it for me. Mm-hmm. In addition to the fact that I was working in, like I said, the television advertising industry, and in those types of industries, a lot of times you end up working on other people's projects or other people's brands. Sometimes you do have the good fortune of producing your own project or working on something that's truly meaningful. Like in recent years, we've seen a surge of amazing projects. But at the time, I just wasn't feeling very fulfilled, and I didn't feel like that was my purpose. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to transition. What ultimately made me start Kids Jam was after, so I got pregnant, I was doing some teaching and living with my partner, and we had had an agreement that wasn't being honored, right? That I was at home, so I was going to work on the business, and I was like, this is not going to work. So in full transparency, I went and got a job. Mm. And the job, I thought, I said, okay, well, I'm going to be teaching yoga to kids. It's going to be amazing. Yes. And it was at an institution here that does not at all resonate with my values. Okay. So I was hired on paper to teach yoga, but I really wasn't. And I mean, that was just another part of the journey for me to understand what the students go through, right, and to know to create a solution instead of trying to fight within an institution. Mm-hmm. You know, some people say that, and I think it does have its place if it's not taking from you, but it was taking from me. And it was, and I was allowing myself to be someone that I didn't want to be. And I was demonstrating that to my students. And, yeah, you know, and I was like, whoa. So ultimately, I left. Mm-hmm. And I launched Kids Jam. A part of my story where I'll go back is probably a couple years prior, I got a youth yoga certification. And the organization's been around forever. I still actually work with the organization, but I was like, yeah, okay, they have everything. They have the research. They've got the support. I don't want to do this by myself. You know, I don't know. I would, oh my gosh. This total panic mode.
Sure.
What I realized from being at the school and what I realized from just having a vision and going forward is that at any point you always have whatever it is that you need. Mm-hmm. Just have to start. And yeah, so that's like, it's such a big story. Like, I'm like, there are so many points that I wanted to bring up, but
right,
I had to start because I delayed the start before I got the job because I was really trying to work within that organization. And what I really ended up learning was that no matter what, even a large organization with lots of years has a lot of people, you got to go through a lot of bureaucracies.
Yes.
There's a lot of learning processes, you know? And so sometimes, you know, you have to just go with what you know, mm-hmm, and trust that and not think that someone else's is going to be what you need to do, or you have to do that first. Right. Sometimes it could be ideal, sometimes not. Exactly. So that's what I got to say about that.
All right. I totally get it because I'm in a big organization right now and the layers are ridiculous. So it definitely can stifle your vision and it can make you feel like, you know, why am I here? But
yes,
at the end of the day, you know, you got to the place where you are now and you're feeling purposeful and authentic. And so how do you balance your baby and your business?
That's a great question too. So I'm learning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has actually been full transparency. Mm-hmm. This has been a challenging week, but in a good way. Mm-hmm. I was counting my gratitudes yesterday because we actually had to transition my daughter from a school that she was in, but she doesn't start her new school till December 3rd.
Okay.
So now we're back in homeschooling mode. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so my business goal for the week was to work to automate my social media, because that's just something that I'm not necessarily akin to, mm-hmm, and I prefer not to do, and it's a job. And so, you know, those two things, like, they're both important, but one is business, but then I have my daughter. And so what I learned in the process was that, you know what, sometimes you just have to surrender. Sometimes, you know, there isn't going to be a perfect balance. And right, so I didn't meet that business goal for this week. But surprisingly, I was able to slow down because I wanted to make sure I was attentive to her, because mm-hmm, I remember starting homeschooling before and the transition and where she was at in school, and I wanted her to have her time. Mm-hmm. And so I was purposeful. I picked like 3 to 5 things a day and I got some things done. And I just learned to just like slow down. And I also learned to surrender to the fact that like I can't get everything done.
Right.
So, yeah, but I'm literally, that I'm going to be honest, I haven't mastered yet. I am working to secure some help, mm-hmm, in the way of interns, which interestingly enough has really been a challenge.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's so shocking to me, like, get an intern. I'm like, I'm trying. So I'm like, that's what I'm working on. I'm manifesting some help. putting in some infrastructure and some systems, because I think with entrepreneurship, there are a lot of things that I've learned. I used to have a coach that would say, I don't think that entrepreneurship, full-time entrepreneurship is for everyone, but part-time is. Mm-hmm. And I agree with her, because in my entrepreneurship journey and in my naivete, right, when I did my projections and everything, not taking into account all of the other stuff that comes up in business, you know.
Yes, the moving parts.
It's going to take a while for me to get to those projections. Mm-hmm. And so, I lost my train of thought. What was I saying? With the moving pieces?
Yeah, balancing it all and putting systems in place so that you can have that time with your daughter and working through all that.
Yeah, girl, I still forgot my train of thought. But yeah, but just putting like all those different pieces in place. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what I was saying now. I was saying what I learned about entrepreneurship. A lot of entrepreneurs, and I mean entrepreneurs that have that are just super successful, they also still maintain a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think one of the bigger challenges of entrepreneurship is like the benefits piece, a retirement package you can kind of like work around, but just like having those benefits, especially if you have a family, mm-hmm. that can be almost cost prohibitive in some instances.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And also the myth is like just quitting your job flat out. I think some people, you know, get into that situation and maybe they might be prepared to, or they might have some outside support and people don't know that end of the story. And the other thing that I learned too is trying to do everything yourself. People talk about that, especially as a self-care advocate, it won't work for me. One thing I know I need is some rest. I'm serious. I need some rest.
Oh yes.
And I get up early. I cannot get up at 4:30 and I'm not going to bed at midnight. Like, no. Mm-hmm. Now, does that happen occasionally? Of course. But am I going to tout that and act like everybody should do that to be successful? Absolutely not.
No.
And I don't think that you should have to go it alone. I think that's a big, big, big misnomer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm working through now, setting up some support and some infrastructure.
In that same line, talk a little bit about self-care and what that even looks like. Because I had a conversation with someone and we were talking about self-care. And most people think traditionally, okay, self-care is go get a massage and go do this, do that. But the biggest thing that I've learned, I think lesson that I've learned, is self-care starts in the mind. You know, you have to take care of your mental health first. And that's like the gateway to the self-care that we're all talking about. Because if you're getting a massage and you're doing, you know, your meditation or whatever, but you're mentally stressed out. It's not really, you're just putting a band-aid on the whole situation. And so self-care kind of gets skewed a little bit and you don't really feel any different once you've done that activity.
Very true. So one of the things, it's kind of like a play on words. So self-care, I could say equals, you know, self-love equals mm-hmm. self-awareness equals mm-hmm. self-regulation, like, you know, or slash however you want to, you know,
right,
put a package it together. But yeah, as I dig deeper, it's all of those things, right? Mm-hmm. And so then if I just encapsulate it and say love, right, we think of love in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm able to, if we look at love, it's like, okay, it's a verb, it's an action.
Right.
And so if I'm able to self-regulate, that means that I'm able to recognize my emotions, listen to them, look at a situation and make an assessment on what's best for me in mm-hmm. the situation, right? If I am self-aware, same thing. Hold on, somebody's crossing my boundaries. This is happening. Self-love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I love myself. Therefore, I'm going to care for myself. I'm going to do what's best for me. I need this nap. Okay, self-care. How do I care for myself? What are those things that need to be in place? So they're all connected. Mm-hmm. And getting, because I just say that because we have so many different words and definitions, right, and we try to make them different when they're the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you, the mental piece. Most importantly, it's understanding your emotions and listening to the clues that it gives you. So I'm going to use myself as an example. I have to speak in generalities, but this has been a recent thing. There are situations that have crossed my boundaries, specifically this summer. And it's heightened in me such an anxiety that I could feel it, like feel it in my body. And I'm like, whoa, I've not ever felt this before. What is it? And so in addition to my yoga practice at home, I was at the studio every day, like, whoa. And what I learned, because at first I had to feel that, you know, I had to also call some friends and get out. I'm like, what is this? And I had to feel it. Excuse me. But what it was that my boundaries were being crossed and I wasn't able, I didn't have voice for it at the time. I couldn't figure it out, but I needed to speak up and I need to honor those boundaries. And once I did that, those feelings dissipated.
Wonderful.
Right. And then once I was able to make that connection, like, oh, okay. When those feel, because it's a new thing now for me to feel it this way, like feel it so intensely, if you will. It's helped inform me going forward. Like, okay, this is what this means. Let me sit down. Let me process this. Let me write this out. You know, Nubia wants to go and say, you know, get my finger. Well, let's get to the point of it. Okay, so I don't need to tell them about that. That's going to get us off track. I need to do this for me. If I address this, I feel good. So that's just an example. It might look, it might feel different from someone else, but I think the mental piece of it is that if I don't set those boundaries in place, I've got all this extra chatter, all this extra weight, all this extra stress.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's clouding what I need to do and get done. So yeah, I would say really honoring your feelings, and just taking the time to write it out. Find a good therapist. Sometimes, yes, having a good talk out if we have a good friend is cool. But sometimes, you know, our friends have a lot going on. They may not be the best filter. You know what I'm saying? They may have their own stuff.
Right.
So finding a good therapist would be my piece of advice. And I believe the site, there's a site called blackgirltherapy.com, I believe. And it'll give you it'll give you a listing of therapists within your city. And therapists have different modalities. At one point, I even had dance movement therapy because I like to dance, you know. But, you know, they have art therapies. So whatever will work for you. But I think that having a good therapist is a necessary part of anyone's self-love, self-care, self-awareness, self-regulation toolkit. Because it allows you to process and break things down instead of having to just like further push it back in your mind, which is also really pushing it back into your heart, pushing it back into your body and your cells and holding it. So it allows you to release and, you know, slowly kind of get to the meat of what you need to do to care and love for yourself.
Absolutely. I think that's wonderful advice. Very, very good advice. And I think because single moms tend to hold a lot more stress than the average mom, well, I'll say average, there's no average, but other, you know, partnered moms or married moms or people who have a super support system. It's so important to learn how to, like you said, self-regulate, how to recognize what it is that's triggering you, causing you to have all kind of anxiety and stress in your body, and which that stress, if it's, of course, long-term, it could lead to illness, you know. I know that for a fact. So thank you for sharing that. So as we're wrapping up, tell me, what legacy do you want to leave for your daughter?
The legacy that I want to leave for her is, that's interesting. Because I could say my business. You have like rendered me speechless, and that's so. What do I want to say? Leave her. I want to leave her with a legacy of just really being self-aware, you know, of who she is, completely through and through. So, you know, her history, culturally on her her family history. Mm-hmm. I want her to be clear about who she is as she walks through this life. And I want to be an example for her to know what's possible without limits when you are fully actualized and walking in your purpose. So I guess I would say that would be the legacy that I want to leave for her. So.
Awesome.
I'm like, crickets.
I mean, but it is not normal, natural when people say legacy is, you know, business or property or home. It's usually material, but I'm always digging for that deeper legacy that we want to leave for our children, because it's so important to, you know, for helping them build a wonderful character and prepare them for greatness in this world and owning their greatness, knowing themselves and being able to be productive citizens, you know, of the world.
Absolutely. Yes, I mean, it would be awesome if she wanted to take on Kids Jam, but and we do a lot together. We work together. But one thing I just want to be cautious of is making my dream hers. You know, right. I'm here to kind of partner with her and help her to be self-actualized and live her dream. So I think the legacy would be more so the example of look what mommy did. Okay, so I know this is possible. I know, you know, I come from that. I can do this, you know, versus she has to do exactly what I did.
Right. Absolutely. Cool. So what advice would you give other single moms who are wanting to start a business?
Single moms who want to start a business, I say go for it. One of the things that I recently did through a fellowship that I have is do some pop-ups. So I've already been in business, but yeah, I did a pop-up of actually a parenting workshop, because my journey with Kids Jam has evolved as I, you know, evolve in my parenting, and I want to share those tools with parents. So I would just say, just do it. You know, depending on what type of business you want to start, if it's online, mm-hmm. do a quick live, you know, and see what kind of feedback you get. If it's some sort of event, find you a space, a venue, have pre and post surveys, mm-hmm. but just go, just do it. Don't worry about so much the marketing and the branding. Worry about your why mm-hmm. and who your target is, and just go and collect data. Don't put so much pressure on yourself on the front end to have to be perfect, right? If you're testing it out, you're working it out. So do a couple pop-ups, test mm-hmm. it out, and gather information, and then use that information to keep improving and going forward. And then once you've got a solid base, then I would say launch forward. Mm-hmm. For support with that, I definitely would say, like in Chicago, we have the Urban League. Mm-hmm. We have an amazing entrepreneurship center.
Nice.
So I would, yeah, if you can connect with your local business resource center, I would go there. Sometimes, though, it could be a little bit intimidating, which is why I'm saying do the pop-up. Because sometimes we have ideas in our head and we just overthink it.
Sure.
The pop-up, yeah, the pop-up will give you information and data for you to take with you to the business coach to say, hey, this mm-hmm. is my idea. This is what I did. This is what I learned. And like, okay, let's go from here. And I also say, don't be discouraged. So you could go to your local business center, and that could not be the place to support you for your business.
Right.
Keep going. Right. So you're going to find someone that's not necessarily telling you what you want to hear, mm-hmm. but that is helping you get unstuck. So if you get to a place in your business and you're just like, what do I do? You want to feel like you're in the company of someone that is going to be able to guide you through the humps and the bumps.
Nice.
So, yeah. So that's, trying to think, what else could I say? just do it. Find a business resource.
Pop-up shops.
Yep. That would be my advice. The other thing too, with Black businesses is that I'll also look into certification. Mm-hmm. One thing, because it will allow you to get big contracts. Yeah. One thing that was intimidating for me, but once I got into it, I learned, and I live in Chicago, because I know your show kind of goes out. Mm-hmm. It says, for you to be certified, you have to have been in business for 2 years.
Right.
All this other stuff. That's not true. Hmm. That might be for, and let me say this, it could be for certain industries, okay. but I'm a service-based business. So if it's like contracting, construction, those type of contracts, I don't know. But there are certain agencies that have a shorter window of time and different requirements for getting certified. So just stay optimistic and keep looking. Because I literally had someone who I knew hadn't been in business for less than a year. They posted on Facebook, I got certified. And I was like, wait a minute.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I went and looked. And it doesn't have to take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But each like city agency here has different requirements, different timelines.
Got it.
Yeah. So there are different types of, whether it's minority certification,
mm-hmm.
certification, like whatever it is, just look into getting certified. Wow. Even if for your state it's 2 years, but just look into getting certified.
Cool. Well, that's definitely great information, especially the Urban League. I know SCORE also has business resources and counseling as well. And there was the Minority Business Center. I think they have opportunities as well. And it's free, you know. It doesn't cost anything. You know, I know a lot of times people are like, oh, I need a business coach. I need to, you know, pay all this money. But these are people who have been in business, who have the tools and the resources to help you get your business started. They have classes. I know I'm connected with my SCORE and they have $25 registration fee for a class. It's like, oh, okay, I can do that. I think the biggest barrier may be the timeline. It's for scheduling, because sometimes they may have an all-day class you have to work, or they may have, but you can take a vacation day. They may have classes in the morning, and you're, again, at work or school. So there are options, and then sometimes they have online classes as well, which there are so many free resources for online business classes to start up and to get what you need. So. Thank you for those tips. And finally, how can people find you online?
Okay. Online, on social media, which I'm going to be updating very soon. You can find me at KidsJam, so KIDSJAMM.com. Same thing for Instagram, at KidsJam, and same thing on Facebook and Twitter, at KidsJam.
Awesome. Very good. Now, do you have like a resource or anything? If you don't, that's okay. A resource to kind of help parents teach their kids how to self-regulate, or meditation, or just some techniques or whatever to get them through life and school?
So on my Facebook page, I do actually have some videos, but you spoke to actually what my site is going to be updated with, and it's exactly those specific resources. So we go on my post and my page, there are some sprinklings, but this is my call to action. Mm-hmm. I will have those specific resources posted. So thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Nubia, thank you so much for this wonderful conversation. I really enjoyed learning about you and your business and your motherhood journey, because I think this is really important for single moms everywhere, no matter what level they are financially, to see successful single moms who are doing business, who are doing life their own way. And I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me. It's been such a pleasure.
Absolutely. So everyone, you can go to the show notes on Rich Single Mama TV. You can see this on YouTube. You can also hear it on iTunes and other places where podcasts are published. The show notes will be on the richsinglemama.com website. So look for those. And we will see you again on our next episode of Rich Single Mama TV. Have a great day.
Bye.